welcoming of a new year. Celebrating not only our dreams and aspirations for tomorrow, but also looking back and acknowledging yesterday, where we've been, what we've done, and maybe who we've done it with. I'm Fred Macy, and you're listening to The Jazz Scene, dedicated to the preservation, promotion, and appreciation of jazz, America's classical music. Looking back can be both fun and informative, which is why I'm interested in learning what things were like before I got here, or when I was too young to remember them. For example, the 1930s and 40s, which produced some of the greatest dance bands ever to appear on this planet. Bands like Artie Shaw, Glenn Miller, Tommy Dorsey, Harry James, Benny Goodman, and so many others. That era also produced some pretty unusual songs. Razzy dotes and dozy dotes and little lambsy divey, a kiddly divey too, wouldn't you? Yes, mazzy dotes and dozy dotes and little lambsy divey, a kiddly divey too, wouldn't you?
Down in a meadow in a itty bitty pool swam three itty fishes and a mommy fishy too. Swim, said the mommy fishy, swim if you can. And he swam all over the dam. Boop, boop, did him, down him, want him, chew. Boop, boop, did him, down him, want him, chew. Boop, boop, did him, down him, want him, chew. And he swam all over the dam.
There are also some truly classic movies that came out of that era as well, like Gone with the Wind.
Where shall I go? What shall I do?
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
And of course, the granddaddy of all monster movies, King Kong. A while back when I was doing a program called The Married Man, long before the show that later swiped the name and became so popular on TV, I had occasion to talk with a lady that did all that screaming in King Kong, Fay Wray. I couldn't believe my eyes when she walked into the studio. She was instantly recognizable, still sporting two of the bluest eyes I've ever seen. Fay was a very petite, spunky lady of 85 at that time, but looked as though someone had simply applied some aging makeup or something to that dazzling femme fatale, the gorilla, and all of America fell in love with back in 1933, and since for that matter. I think I may have surprised her with a couple of my questions, but she was quick and witty besides.
Your ideal for you, as you would view a married man, what he should be?
Well, if he's married to me, he's ideal.
Qualities? What
particular no, you're being serious. I was being a little facetious. I think that I couldn't subscribe to the idea of ideal, because that seems to put someone in a frame that is a little unreal. I think it's the difficulties or partly wonderful and partly not wonderful things about each and every one of us that makes us what we are. And those things are so individual and so unique in every instance that you can't put a frame around it and put it on the wall and say that's ideal. So I might not be able to respond to you the way you're kind of wanting me to, but I like you just the same.
Well, thank you. What I want, what this married man wants, is your honest reaction, which is what I think I've gotten. The beginning of your On the Other Hand book mentions a love letter. It's a love letter to King Kong.
Well, I wouldn't just call it a love letter. A letter is an appreciation, a respect for him in a kind of humorous way. And my regard for what he's come to mean to so many people. I think there's a great variety of attitudes that I've observed over the years. For instance, a professor at UCLA says that King Kong meant just about everything to him. I know a lady I've met here in New York who said she came to New York after seeing King Kong because it was so compelling to her. I know a man who became an exhibitor of films only after seeing King Kong. And so it seems to have a different kind of meaning to different people. And that really does fascinate me.
Fay Wray, did you ever feel married to King Kong?
No.
Well, I say that now. I'm being light.
All right, you can do that. Say it again, then.
they referred to you as the Bride of Kong. Of course, they did in the movie.
Did they? No, really?
Yes, the Bride of Kong.
Oh, and, I have to see that again, then.
Well, the fame, of course, has followed you through the years. And
that's
I was wondering
true.
If it ever followed you to the point where you found he was unshakable.
Oh, he is now. It's a constant where I'm concerned. And people have said to me, don't you get tired of that? Don't you get bored with that? And tired is the key word here. And I say, if I got tired, I'd be exhausted every day.
How's he doing these days, by the way?
Kong? Well, it was reported in the New York Times by a nice imaginative writer a few years ago that he had been to the island where Kong lives and interviewed him. And so I guess he's just doing all right.
He would not be your ideal married man.
To somebody who looked more like him, I'd be all right.
Thank you, Fay Wray.
One of the traditions of any New Year's celebration seems to be the song Auld Lang Syne. Not Old Lang Syne, but Auld Lang Syne, A-U-L-D. And we all sing it, but a lot of folks don't know the words because, much like the Star Spangled Banner, they never learned them, even though they've sung them millions of times, so they just mouth them. But we all sing We'll Raise a Cup of Kindness Yet for Auld Lang Syne. We do it every New Year's. The thing is, I've never met anyone who could tell me what the words mean. Nobody seems to know. Well, I did a little research, and it turns out that Auld Lang Syne is an extremely old Scottish song. It was first written down in the 1700s by Robert Burns. Robert Burns was the person whose transcription got the most attention. So whether or not he was the person who actually wrote the song, he's the one who first wrote it down. So Robert Burns is the person most closely associated with the now universal New Year's anthem. By the way, I don't think this is the same guy who made the cigars and the cigarillos. No. Anyway, that's where it came from. But what the heck does it mean? Looking at several different translations, more research reveals, as best I can determine, that Auld Lang Syne means times gone by. Times gone by. So unless they're blowing smoke up my kilt, when we sing this song, we're saying we'll drink a cup of kindness yet for times gone by. That's a nice thought. No wonder people get teary-eyed when they sing that song, even if they don't know what it means. As to the opening lines about forgetting old acquaintances, well, that always gets me. I can think of a lot of people I've met in my life that have shaken my hand and tried to steal my fingers, and those are acquaintances I'd just as soon do without. But friends, friends are something different, something special, and I don't want to forget any of them. I don't want to forget you either, and I hope you'll remember to be here next time at the Mark of Jazz. I hope you've enjoyed our little New Year's peek into the rearview mirror, as well as my conversation with the wonderful Faye Ray, because it was a lot of fun sharing them with you. If you'd like to hear something special, or just want to talk about what it is that you like best, leave me a comment either here at the Jazz Scene or on the website itself, markofjazz.com. Until next we meet, I want to wish you an incredibly happy, healthy, and most prosperous new year. Happy New Year.
A kindness yet for